back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Tom, 1320 WILS, 849 here in Greater Lansing in the studios of 1320 WILS, along with Dave Benton. My partner Jack Ebling is in State College, in Philadelphia, en route to State College, Pennsylvania. Going to hop on a plane here in a second. We're going to bring him in right now. How are you doing, Jack?
Doing fine. That was your least favorite Big Ten fight song. You like it any better today?
No, I don't. And have you survived the full cavity search yet so far, going through detection?
Well, I get those frequently. So, yeah.
Big issue these days for those who travel. I don't do that anymore. But from what I understand, it's a whole new sense of experience, if you will.
Add something to the experience. Yeah.
Yes, but anyway, let's talk about today, all three of us here in the studios, and you on the phone, about what we truly expect to have happen. We're going to get into our scores at 10:50 as we start predicting some big games in college football today. But what do you think is going to really happen? What's going to need to happen for Michigan State to pull this game off against the Nittany Lions?
Michigan State had a chance 2 years ago to get a share of the title when they came here, and they got violated early in this game. And I would expect that that's been brought up several times this week to the Spartans. So if they want that experience again, they're welcome to it. I don't think that's going to happen. I think this will be a competitive game into the second half. Penn State's got a lot to play for in terms of the crowd, Joe Paterno, Senior Day, all those things. And Michigan State has a lot to play for. You don't get a chance to win a Big Ten championship very often at Michigan State. It's only happened 6 times.
Yeah, but I want to ask you guys real quick, what happened? I mean, with Michigan State, it seems to be they play the level of their competition. Purdue is not a very good football team.
Yeah.
They're at home for their senior day, and they barely squeak out a win over the hapless Boilermakers. What's going on with Sparty in that scenario? Jack, you first, and then Dave, chime in on that.
Yeah, you know, they came out. You can't say they were unprepared to play. They went right down the field the first time. And then they gave up a long run, and then they picked 6. And next thing they knew, some things snowballed, and they made an incredible number of mistakes. If anything, they lost their focus. Kirk Cousins was dropping perfect shotgun snaps. They were committing more stupid penalties. And you're going to see today the difference between the discipline team that Penn State has, the fewest penalties, and the most penalties in Michigan State. But Michigan State did just about everything wrong for 50 minutes and then somehow flipped the switch. I'm still not exactly sure how Michigan State won that game. It took a tremendous block punt by Denikos Allen to really give them the chance to do that. And if Michigan State plays anything close to that today, they'll get beat by double digits.
Yeah, and I think some of this has to – I don't want to say blame, but I've seen – some differences in Kirk Cousins since that Iowa game that I think something really shook him up, because he's doing a lot of back foot throwing. He's making a lot more mistakes. He's usually very careful with the football, and he hasn't done that the last couple of games. He's had 5 interceptions and 4 touchdowns. And I think the other issue, and Jack, I don't know how much of an issue you think this is, but I think it's a little bit of troubling. The last couple of games since Illinois, carries have diminished for both Le'Veon Bell and Larry Caper and have gone exclusively to Edwin Baker. And when you do that, although Edwin Baker's getting a lot of yards, I think that sort of hurts how you mix up your offensive schemes.
Yeah, I think one of the things that happened is Le'Veon Bell kind of hit the wall.
Oh, and any freshman is going to do that.
Yeah, but I think Larry Caper is healthy and should probably be used more than he has been, but I can tell you exactly what happened with Kirk Cousins. He got hurt in the Iowa game, and a lot of guys wouldn't have played. He nearly took himself out of the Purdue game because it's just excruciating pain every time he steps onto that left foot. And there's a little pivot motion involved in the throw, and you really can't put any pressure on that foot. So I don't think the bye week helped him very much. It certainly didn't look like it against Purdue. And you know, he had a great game against Northwestern, and played pretty well down the stretch against Purdue, but it's very, very difficult for him to do that for 60 minutes, and he's going to have to do it for 60 minutes today.
Well, you know, Jack, getting back into the Big Ten as a whole, you know, why maybe the 3:30 game is Wisconsin, because now I was at that Edie family funeral last week. I missed the Michigan Wisconsin game, and I'm glad I wasn't there for a lot of reasons, but they're really good. Wisconsin is a really good football team, and so that quality win that Sparty had over Wisconsin, that's legit. So I can't completely diss their, you know, their body of work as I try to default to during these frustrating moments as being a Michigan backer, and so I just try to take the whole conference down with myself. But I really think that Wisconsin's a really good team, and you know, if Michigan State can somehow knock off Penn State, that's a heck of a year with 11 wins.
Yeah, and Tom, this is the most optimistic I've ever heard you about a Wisconsin team.
Oh, I know.
Well, that's good.
You're not a big Wisconsin guy.
I'm not, but
they're playing very well.
This offensive line, and I watched a lot of the tape of some of the replay, and did a lot of reading. 6'5", 320 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was the old Michigan line of, you know, 20 years ago,
ago. Is there a more balanced team in the country than Wisconsin? You've got three running backs that are getting close to 1,000 yards, and you've got a quarterback
who
takes care of the ball, doesn't throw picks, and has a very high completion percentage. I mean, they are a very balanced team that it is hard to stop.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, Tom, it's a good analogy comparing them to the old Michigan lines, because not only are they big, but they can move, they can trap, they can pull, they can do a lot of things. They're not just farm boys out there. I mean, they're doing a lot of things besides that, and kind of changing the image of Wisconsin football. If you think that you're going to catch James White in the open field with a guy who runs 4.6, good luck, because all you're going to see are his taillights.
Right, and 24-0 lead. Obviously, they took command of that game, just switching over to Michigan a little bit, Michigan-Ohio State game, and I can't believe we're just, as an after fact, we're thinking about, well, let's take a look at Michigan-Ohio State game. That used to be the centerpiece of college football. And so let's take a look at that game. Obviously, 17-point underdogs, the Wolverines are. That's just disgusting to even think that. How can they not be competitive in this game? And yet I can see them maybe hanging around for a while, but then just kind of eroding away defensively in that third quarter.
I really think Michigan will score points. I think they can score points on any team in the country. And I would be a little surprised if they didn't put 20 points up today. But I don't think 28 is going to be enough. I don't think 31 is going to be enough. So I think the only way Michigan wins that game is if Wisconsin has a tremendous number of turnovers. Maybe Terrell Pryor getting injured in the first quarter has something to do with that. But that's about the only chance I see.
I think what Michigan has to do is bring the house on every play. You're going to
give
up the points anyway, but bring the house, try and confuse Terrell Pryor.
Desperation.
He's not a good quarterback when he has to read through one or two progressions. And so if he's got to hit a hot route, I would bank on two or three mistakes by Terrell Pryor if you send the house on every single play. And it with Michigan's defense, why wouldn't you do it? If you're going to sit back in a zone and just let him pick you apart, you might as well bring the house and see if you can cause some turnovers.
Right. I guess that's as effective a strategy as any. I don't think they can play conventional defense, and they're going to give up 500 yards. The question is, as you say, Dave, are there going to be enough mistakes?
And I think Terrell Pryor is the right type of quarterback that you can do that against because he's not good at reading defenses and things like that.
Right.
So if they're going to make any quarterback do it in the Big Ten and cause turnovers, it might be Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, but you have to have a secondary that can make tackling. I mean, tackling has just been, you know, it's the open field. Even when they're making plays, they're in the right position.
But I'm talking about a defense that, yes, Ohio State's going to get some big plays if you do that. But if you run it right, you're going to get to Terrell Pryor and make him throw a lot of incompletions. And that's what you want to look for.
Well, Jack, we're going to put...
The other thing about Michigan that is disturbing, and Tom, I know you've agonized over this, but they can't kick a field goal.
Yeah, I mean, that's just another, it's just another negative variable on top of it. You know, it's just one more thing to throw on this, you know, ridiculous situation that they're in. And I don't care, you know, they're billion. I don't care if they've got all these young freshmen, sophomores, and they're, you know, we got to wait till they get better. It seems like that's been the situation every year. And I'm just hoping a better, more competitive product here in the third year of Rich Rodriguez. Jack, we're going to let you hop on a plane right now. And then, catch up with you at around 10:50 for our listeners out there who want to hear Jack's opinions about what's going to transpire today in college football. In particular, two important games, one in State College and one in Columbus, Ohio, that affects our team. So have a safe trip. We'll see you in a couple hours, Jack.
All right. Sounds Sounds great, Tom. Take care, guys.
Okay, Dave, so we're going to come back with Johnny B. Borton of The Wolverine. John Borton, the publisher of The Wolverine magazine, has got some great insights, some great opinions. We'll be talking to him from Columbus, Ohio, on the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.